Gentus presents The Prisoners by Vivian Stewart, performed by Simon Slater. Chapter 1. During the next 10 days, the work of setting up the new settlement went on apace. More male convicts were landed from the transports and formed into working parties under guard. A blacksmith's forge was erected. Stores, tents, and supplies of dockyard canvas brought ashore, and the construction of a wharf begun, and pits dug for cooking ovens and fires. Work started at first light and went on until dark, with a short break at midday. The ground was staked out according to the plan Captain Philip had prepared, with the marines under canvas on the west side of the Freshwater Creek, the convicts in newly built huts on its eastern bank. A hospital, initially of canvas, was to be set up on the headland at the cove's western extremity, between the marines' encampment and the point designated as the site for an observatory, when Lieutenant Dawes should bring the Admiralty telescope and other scientific instruments ashore. On the eastern extremity, the plan called for a small fort, mounting two of the Sirius's guns for defensive purposes, with the government house, at present a large canvas marquee, erected a short distance to the rear of the landing wharf and flagstaff. Parties were sent to clear the land of trees in the area behind the governor's marquee, in preparation for the construction of a government garden, and fenced enclosures for the various livestock brought, with seed and young fruit trees and plants, from Cape Town. Inevitably, there were setbacks, and Captain Philip, while careful to preserve an outwardly confident and unruffled appearance, fumed inwardly when the home government's parsimony was again revealed in the poor quality of the tools provided for the settlement's use. "The axes and spades," he complained to Hunter, "are the worst I have ever set eyes on, inferior even to those used as barter with the natives of the Pacific Islands." The convicts, with one or two notable exceptions, drove him close to despair. Mainly city dwellers untrained in manual labour, they displayed a sullen unwillingness to exert themselves in its performance. The primitive huts they built, four posts with walls of tree branches roughly interlaced and smeared with clay, and a thatch of palm leaves, were too flimsy to stand up to wind and weather, and the native timber, which burned so well, proved useless for building purposes. Fresh meat was virtually inobtainable. Organized hunting parties were sent out daily, but they returned, weary and dispirited, to report a lack of edible game. A few of the native marsupials, called kangaroos by the aboriginals, were shot, with an occasional crow, but for the most part, the salt beef and pork on which they had been compelled to subsist for the past 8 months remained perforce a major part of their diet. The livestock was required for breeding and could not be slaughtered, so that the only fresh food available was fish and some spinach-like plants and berries, which Dr. White had declared of some use in the treatment of scurvy. The government garden, still only half cleared and littered with the stumps of the trees that had been felled, must be brought into production as quickly as was humanely possible, Captain Philip decided. He put his servant, Edward Dodd, in charge, and allotted him a large convict working party in the hope of hastening the initial planting, and since most of the officers had purchased livestock, fruit trees and seed for their own use, he began allocating individual plots of land to any of them who asked for it. It was a beginning, and a very necessary one, for a great many of the male convicts landed to make up the settlement's labour force were suffering from the ravages of dysentery and scurvy, and quite incapable of prolonged work. The marines, who were younger and fitter, were forbidden by the commandant to do more than provide guards, and Philip had his first serious clash with Major Ross on this account within a few days of landing. "My men are soldiers, Captain Philip," the marine officer informed him with icy dignity.